Listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, May 27th, 2011. It's Casual Friday, folks. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It is a beautiful day. In my mind, I'm already on vacation, folks. If I have a dreamy quality to my voice today, that is why. I'm thinking about barbecues. I'm thinking about yard work. I'm thinking about good friends, ice cream. I can only have dessert now on the weekends. It is Name Drop Friday, and hopefully we'll have Cliff Schecter. We'll see. We're having a little bit of difficulty. And we will get into it. We will definitely be talking to somebody can help me here. Chris Rosen from MovieLine.com. I'll tell you something. I can't imagine he's listening to the show right now because he doesn't seem to do any prep whatsoever. If he suggests to me, if he even mentions Hangover 2, that could be the end of the segment.
I was wondering when that was going to happen.
I'm sure, as far as I can tell, Rosen is probably just waiting for it to come. All right, let's pick this up. Here's Cliff. Cliff, are you there?
Hello?
Oh, there we go. Cliff Schecter, ladies and gentlemen. Cliff.
Hey, I'm here, man.
Cliff Schecter. There we go. Oh,
one, the only, the guy who can't call
him. You can hear that applause, can't you?
Oh, it's huge. No, I can't, but I assume it's
you can't.
Loud, vociferous.
Wait a second. Wait
passionate.
A second. Wait, no, wait a second. We're not. I'm
sexy.
Not. I'm not deal. We're not doing that. We're not doing this again. Oh, I know. I hold on. Can you hear me? Can you hear it now? Hold on. Well, let's try this. Let's try one more time. Can you hear it?
No, I can't.
All right, wait a second.
I'm
going to call you right back. I'm going to call you
okay.
Right back.
All right, bye.
Bye. I refuse to. I won't be. I will not. Oh, no, I'm not going to be able to. This is going to be awkward.
11.
Hold on, let's try this again. There we go. Direct line. Called the wrong number. Fantastic.
Ring of Fire Studio.
Yeah, hey, Cliff Schecter.
Yes.
Cliff?
Can you hear me?
Yes, yeah, Cliff, yeah. I can. Can you hear me?
I absolutely can.
Cliff?
Why am I getting an
yes,
echo?
Yes, I can, I can
Cliff,
hear
I
you,
can.
Dude.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I absolutely can.
Cliff? Why am I getting an echo?
What the heck?
Are there five of you there?
Cliff, call me back. Call me back.
Oh, I sound cool.
Are there five of you there?
What the frick? All right, call me back. God,
I heard myself.
All right. It's Casual Friday, folks. All right, here. You want a little Name Drop Friday? I just was having coffee. I came in a little bit late today because I had coffee with some fellow PS parents, Richard Kind, who you may all know from, A Simple Man, That was his latest big project. Are you familiar with the Coen brothers?
Yes.
Richard Kind, yes. You know, he was on Spin City. He's a very sort of... No? Matt? Isabel Gillies? I don't know if you watch one of those SUVs. She's on one of those SUVs.
I don't think...
She's a best-selling author.
I don't think that's what you mean.
SVU? SVU?
Yeah, I was...
One of the Law and Order SVUs.
Wondering.
Okay, here we go. All right, they're calling. Cliff is calling me again. Hopefully, this will be good. We'll try this one more time. See if this can work. Yes, I know I could do. Folks, just some house cleaning. House cleaning. Here we go. Let me try and call him again. He supposedly has it fixed. All right, here we go. Monday, we will have a new interview for you. Joe Barton from The Strike. It will be just an interview because
Hello?
I'm going to take the... Cliff!
Is there only one of me now?
Yes. Now, let's try this again.
I like to rap. Oh.
There we go. There we go. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. Here all week.
All right, that's enough.
Yeah, I know. Mission accomplished.
Okay. Mission accomplished. We've done it, ladies and gentlemen. Cliff Schechter is with us to talk about the news later in the program. Chris Rosenlitz. So let's jump right in, Chris.
Cliff, but whatever.
What did I say?
You called him Chris.
I did?
Yeah.
God.
Just call me Norsey.
All right, listen. Guy on the phone.
Yeah.
I don't know if you caught this, so let's start right out with, well, first off, let me start with, well, we know that the big story right now is that Paul Ryan is whining about, you know, people are misinterpreting my Medicare proposal. They're not, you know, and look, we know, the problem.
Look like Eddie Munster?
Right, well, the problem he has is that, not that people are misinterpreting his proposal, it's that they're actually, they know what it is.
Right. The big problem is that he's not a good enough liar. If he had named it Healthy Forests, you know, maybe we all would have believed it or something. Or if he'd said Mission Accomplished or, you know, that kind of thing. Instead, actually, truthfully, he told the truth about what it does, which is destroying Medicare and turning Medicare into some private voucher program that will throw all sorts of seniors back into destitution, which seems to be where the Republican Party's comfortable with them being. And the end result of that, of course, is that most people look at this thing and know that it's insane.
You make a great point here. Usually the Republicans would name something like this, like the Strengthen Medicare.
Patriot Act.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about the Patriot Act. That's also sort of depressing, too. But they would name it like, you know, save our seniors proposal or, you know.
Clean coal.
Yeah. Well, not clean coal, obviously, for health care. But, yes, we get the idea here. So, but here's the interesting thing. Then you've got Joe Scarborough. And on his program yesterday, Scarborough started talking about it. Now, I cannot believe, you know, the conversation is between Harold Ford and Joe Scarborough. And you could.
There's a wide range of opinions.
I was going to say, like, you could not even, like, you could not get a pin wedged in between their ideology.
Scarborough was actually the one to the left in that conversation.
Well, listen to this, though, because to me, this is the perfect representation, A, of Joe Scarborough's show, which is just a bunch of insider Washington Beltway people who are all wealthy who don't give a shit about other people. B, this is what Ryan Proposals is all about. And while Ryan can go on Scarborough and complain that people are misinterpreting it, Scarborough knows exactly what it's about. And listen to this. It's 2 minutes long, but I want you to listen to it because this encapsulates. And I would argue that whether it's, you know, anyone from Jonathan Alter to Matt Miller, it is just a sliding scale, a spectrum of belief that at the end of the day, none of these people are aware or care. It's somewhere in between there just how much people rely on things like Social Security and Medicare. So listen to Joe Scarborough and Harold Ford.
Paul Ryan's message, not his budget, but Paul Ryan's message, put in the right hands of the right candidate, does get people out of their feet.
Well, but
seats,
the right way. People like Medicare, and if it is framed as someone's against Medicare, first of all, Barack Obama is in a stronger position today than he was 3 months ago. But if you frame it as Medicare, it's going to be.
I like chocolate cake. You know what else I like? I like steak, and I don't just like the lean steak. I like the steak that has the fat. And you know, if I'm really wanting to do what I like, I will actually carve off the fat first and eat it and watch it go down my face. Now, I would like to have that every lunch and dinner. I would love to wake up with chocolate cake and wash it down with a big fat milkshake. Hold on a second. My point is very clear. I like Medicare, too. I like sunshine. I like daffodils.
You
know, I like
sunshine.
A lot of things, but you can't have sunshine every day. As Bill Clinton once said in a letter, every day can't be sunshine. And guess what? No. Medicare is going bankrupt. Hold on. Americans are not too stupid to grasp this. In fact, Americans are pretty damn smart. If you just hold up a chart that says Medicare is going bankrupt, and here's the line. So let's decide today. Do we want to tell people who are 50 years and younger you're going to get Medicare at 70, or slow down the rate of growth for people who are 50 and younger, or do we want it to collapse? You decide. There's a poll out today, an AP poll. It says the majority of Americans
right
think
here
that you can balance the budget
without cutting key and programs.
Without cutting any entitlement programs. Why don't we take a poll and ask how many Americans believe 2 + 2 = 4? And I will guarantee you, if a majority disagree with that, it doesn't change the fact that 2 + 2 = 4.
I'm in agreement.
All right, I'm going to start backwards
first. Who was that talking? Was that
That's Scarborough.
Oh, his voice sounded a little bit different. I mean, I don't even know where to begin.
I'm going to start from backwards forward. Now, we know there is only one budget proposal that has been offered so far that actually zeroes out the deficit. That is the people's budget. It's by the Progressive Caucus, and it does not cut entitlements. It does not cut Social Security. It doesn't do any of those things. So you can deal with the debt and the deficit without cutting entitlements. So let's move track forward. Here he's talking about what Medicare
is. Can I say one thing, Sam? It's also important to state Sally Cohn, if you notice, she has a great piece in the in USA Today the other day, how actually some debt is actually required and good, which Paul Krugman can point out.
Well, of course.
And the truth of the matter is this overblown and stupid. We spent 8 Bush years with Dick Cheney saying, Reagan taught us deficits don't mean anything, and these guys couldn't care a lick about deficits. I mean, we need to start with the whole matrix-like sort of that people have been placed into, where they suddenly have been convinced that this means something. When, as you said, it's a bunch of inside Washington arrogant asses that who have no idea. Even though they may have come, some of them from real parts of America initially, but clearly they haven't been back forever.
By real parts of America, you're just simply talking about the average experience of 80% of the country.
I mean, it's to obsess over that is so utterly stupid. And again, I'm sorry, I don't mean to go on a tangent.
No. But that's a good point. Basically on this program, it's understood that the whole deficit debt thing is completely overblown. We have a long term problem, but right now we should be adding more debt. We should be borrowing more money, more stimulus. We should be borrowing more money at historically low rates. Ezra Klein has a good piece up today about how the fact the deficit is really just used by everyone to push an ideological agenda. But let's go to the heart of the matter here. He starts off by saying people are not getting Paul Ryan's message. And he goes on to say that Paul's Ryan message is that Medicare is like chocolate cake. It's like the fat off of a steak that I'd love to just shove in my mouth and have it drip down.
He is
saying that Medicare is the functional equivalent of hedonism.
Right.
And so
here's a guy who
doesn't have to worry about his elderly folks. He doesn't have to worry about cancer treatment. He doesn't have to worry about whether or not he has health insurance. He is saying Medicare is hedonism.
No,
this
can
is
I give you
stunning,
the...
and there's right, nobody on that goddamn show who says a word about it.
Right. Now, can I say something? Because this is important here. The exact picture, the fat eating, cake dripping down their mouth, fat ass stuck in their chair, doesn't do any real work, you know, person that they're talking about. Yeah, that's Dick Cheney and Halliburton. All right, that's every one of these companies that sits around getting oil subsidies and literally has the gall to show up in Congress and whine and cry about, oh my God, I mean, our profits might go down to only record levels since 2008 and not 2007 if we were to cut those. It's simple as the image they're trying to portray of somebody who is destitute and has to rely on Medicare or Medicaid, that is the image of these fat ass, you know, the
destitute.
Guy I read about a couple years ago.
It's not even destitute. We're talking about 2/3 of the country.
We're talking
about
you're right.
Middle class
I just think,
people. And here's the thing is that, I mean, just to break down his analogy, he is actually saying that the reason why I can't eat chocolate cake or steak at every meal, it's fatty steak, a big juicy steak. The reason why I can't do it is because I got to protect my health. I mean, so much wrapped up in his, he is talking about,
I got an idea. You
want to
protect your health?
To eat right. steak every day. And even though I have the means to eat chocolate cake at every meal, I got to protect my health. Meanwhile, he's using that as an analogy for the one mechanism, for the one mechanism that 2/3 of this country, maybe even greater a number, actually have to provide health for themselves. It is so twisted and demented. And the idea that Harold Ford's only response, because he loves to take a helicopter all around New York, his only response is, these rubes, they like it.
Right, exactly. It's a political response. Well, people like
it's
it, so we got to give it to them.
And
you're right. I shouldn't have said destitute. It is most people. I think the most about the poorest who would suffer the most if they lost it. But the truth is, you're absolutely right.
It's the vast majority
of the country that would suffer. And again, for them to paint this image, I got an idea. You want to take your chocolate cake away? You want to make it healthier for people? Stop giving ridiculous subsidies to your buddies that load you up with cash in your back pocket from the big friggin' Agra lobby, who are busy making America fatter, you know, with the crap they're putting in our food while you're sitting there loading them up with money.
Or
how
about
that?
Every single person who is sitting at that table at that moment could turn around and realize that they're paying 20 percentage points less in their taxes than they would have 50 years ago. 20
That's
percentage
right.
points less of their income in effective tax rate. 20%. No, there's no adjusting for inflation. 20 percentage points of their of their income would be paid if this was 60 years ago. And Joe Scarborough has the
back in the 1950s, when everything was wonderful.
The audacity to say this. It is everything that is wrong with everything, everywhere, bundled up, and they actually market it as a television program.
Well, just that whole panel on this whole discussion. What Paul Ryan did is, let's put this in perspective. It's cowardly. It's ridiculous. It solves nothing, because the truth is he gives so many corporate tax breaks. Talk about slovenly cake eating. Every one of his corporate buddies are choking on their tax cut cake all the time, but he's loading them up with more of it so that in the end we have a bigger budget deficit because of that stupid and, as Paul Krugman said, fraudulent document that he put out there than before. We want to balance the budget. You're right about the people's budget. Yeah, but there's 20 different ways we could get there. It's pretty simple. You want to do it? Fine. Cut the farm subsidies to the huge conglomerates. Right. Cut the oil subsidies to those guys. All right? Let's start taxing people instead
not
of taxing
defense.
Hedge fund managers at the 15% rate. You know, start taxing them at a real rate. And in addition to all of that, we have this thing called the defense industry that creates right. the Dick Cheneys and Donald Rumsfelds of the world who make multi-millions of dollars, or they create stuff that half the time doesn't even use and taints water for soldiers in Iraq or whatever. Why don't we try making that, I don't know, a legitimate bidding instead of no-bid contracts? We could lop off. We spend as much money in defense as the rest of the world combined. We literally could lop off, I'm guessing, without even trying, 30% of that, probably a lot more. You go, you take care of that, you take care of farm subsidies, you take care of oil subsidies, and I'm sure a whole lot of other things I'm not even thinking of, and you're there. The budget's balanced. Done. And you know, you really that way do get to the fat cats and these people, that this image that they're trying to make of people that use Medicare, that's the image of their buddies. Those are the guys they're going out smoking cigars with at the private clubs in New York. All
right? I mean, you know, this is without even having to actually get into the the argument where adults, real adults, I mean real people who actually give a shit about what they're talking about, know that we should not even be having conversations about how to close short or midterm deficits or debt. I mean, it's stunning. The bubble that this dude must live in, the absolute bubble it's literally like just, here's the only thing. This is what I'm going to compare it to, okay? This is the only thing I can compare it to, actually, because it is so repulsive to me. This is the only story I can compare it to. Hold on for a second. Where do I have this story here? I got it here somewhere. Hold on one second. It is a story about a pedophile. This is the only thing I can. I'm sorry. This is the only thing I can compare it to. Where the heck is this story? It is a stunning story about a cardinal who is in the Vatican, who has been put in charge of the Vatican's. Here it is. An influential Italian cardinal who has been working with Pope Benedict, whatever the number he is, on reforms to respond to prior scandals of pedophile priests. Father Riccardo Seppia, he's a 51-year-old parish priest in the village of San Stettore Pontetente, I don't know what it is, near Genoa. Okay?
That's a nice attempt at it.
Thank you. This guy was arrested Friday, May 13th, on pedophilia and drug charges. This is a guy who has been working with Pope Benedict. He's a cardinal.
Well, he obviously knew how to reform the system because he realized what he had to stop himself.
Yeah. Investigators say that in tapped mobile phone conversations, Seppia asked a Moroccan drug dealer to arrange sexual encounters with young and vulnerable boys. I do not want a 16-year-old boys, but younger. 14-year-old boys. 14-year-olds are okay. Look for needy boys who have family issues. The delusion, the psychosis involved in comparing Medicare with chocolate cake and the fat of steaks, the idea that Medicare is the equivalent to hedonism is, in my mind, the same analogy as having a cardinal working with the Pope to reform the system to prevent pedophilia and being a massive pedophile himself. I mean, right. there is no other way to express the level of disconnection with reality. To actually use that as a metaphor for Medicare is stunning.
I got to be honest with you. I'm a little bit upset though because I think back to how we could have had Harold Ford as a senator from New York, and now we'll never have that pleasure.
These two are peas in a pod.
It makes me sad.
Him going around talking about how I love New York. I mean, New York, I'm all about New York. I take my helicopter all the time to see parts of the state.
When he gave that explanation, when he was thinking of running for the Senate, of why he was a New Yorker, it is one of the single coolest things I've ever seen.
Yes.
Like, I get up, I have breakfast at which hotel was it? I have breakfast at the Hyatt or whatever with the owners of both the Yankees and the Mets. I love baseball in New York. It's sometimes you get to the point where it's almost like, Sam, people like you and me, I don't even know how to use satire anymore.
Right.
They've killed it for me.
Right.
Literally that whole statement by him was such a satirical statement, and he didn't even get it.
You know what? I want to put a special request out to our animators. We got a lot of animators who draw a political cartoon. It's four boxes. It's very easy. Medicare is like a juicy steak dripping off your face. I mean, how do you satirize that anymore? I mean, food assistance, food stamps for kids. It's just like me going out and having a juicy steak.
Isn't Obama the food stamp president? No?
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
actually, you know what? If you want the image of the guy drooling at the mouth for cake and virtually everything else, many of the carnal pleasures we won't discuss here, that's Newt Gingrich.
Right.
That's who they're getting mixed up with. That's a guy that literally must fulfill every little part of his id, and then some. But somehow it's an everyday American who just wants to, be healthy and not die. They're the greedy one. It's not nude on a bender at Tiffany's, right?
Right. Right.
Buying platinum nipple rings for himself. It's unbelievable.
Stunning. So this is a story I know you're going to enjoy. Did we talk about Sarah Palin's movie on the program yesterday?
No, we didn't.
My God.
Please, so, let's talk about it.
I've got so many stories here that are just insane. I don't even know what to talk about. Sarah Palin, I mean, literally, it's like just completely walked through the looking glass here. And today, I'm in a good mood today.
I am too. Well, that's what makes fun of some people and enjoy ourselves. I just couldn't help it. That Medicare thing gets me so...
Oh, yeah, apparently the way it gets me rather treat... angry as well.
I'm kind of surprised you said you're in a good mood after that.
I honestly walked into the office today. I'm like, I'm in the best mood I've been in weeks.
Well, it's called catharsis. We got it out of our system. Now let's make fun of Sarah Palin.
Okay.
So what's going on with Sarah Palin?
People, you know, she's not running for president. Of course she's not. And I want to be careful here because I don't want to be considered. This is not a misogynist. When I call her a whore, I am saying it. When I call her a whore, I am saying it in the most generic term possible. If someone could provide for me another word for someone who will do anything for money and has no other value but to accrue more wealth, I will use that. But short of that, all I can say is unbelievable.
A bush?
A bush.
Watch that one too, though.
Right. Oh, that's right. That's darn. I got myself in trouble.
So. She's moving to Arizona. Supposedly she's going to run for. She's not going to run for anything because it's going to cost her money. She's going to do the same thing that Trump did, which is generate money off of the potential that she's running. That's her game. She walked away. I don't even know how anybody could take this seriously. She was a governor of a state. There's only one thing more you can do after that. That's become president. She walked away halfway through it to cash in. She ain't going to do. She ain't going to run for president. Are you kidding? And so, but the latest is that she apparently saw this guy's movie, Generation Zero, which was one of these sort of, you know, moron right-wing movies, saying that it was liberals who caused the financial meltdown. She
was Jack Bauer in it torturing people?
I know they can only imagine. No, it was a documentary. Oh. And a so-called documentary. So she contacted this guy and convinced him. Supposedly, he raised $1 million on his own. I find that hard to believe. But he is he has created a movie called The Undefeated.
Ooh.
And it is a two-hour movie about Sarah Palin that is going to open in Iowa.
It's the known opening spot for all large films.
Right. And
it's the famous Dubuque Film Festival.
Yeah, here's my favorite. Some of these conservative movies are just passed around as DVDs at conventions, a source said close to the production. But not this one. This is a real movie. apparently people have seen it, and it's just sort of, she's not actually quoted in it. It's just a bunch of people talking about her and her accomplishments. It is... I don't even know what to say about it. It's just like the world has gone upside down, and it's going to get a lot of coverage. I imagine Chris Rosen's going to recommend it once it gets on Netflix. The other story I got to talk to you about is this. Are you familiar with Veritas? Project Veritas? That is James O'Keefe's group.
That's O'Keefe. Okay. What's this specific project? No, dressing it like a pimp this time?
It is actually they have now been awarded nonprofit status from the IRS.
The plumbers get nonprofit status too?
This is he said the money saved with the status would help Project Veritas train and equip, quote, an army of citizen journalists to carry out its mission, quote, to investigate and expose corruption, dishonesty, self-dealing, waste, fraud, and other misconduct in both public and private institutions in order to achieve more ethical and transparent society. Here's my suggestion. It's time for you to do one of those, like, Ross McKelvey documentaries about yourself. That's the first fraud that you would be able to uncover. And the production cost would be much more, would be minimal, because, of course, you wouldn't have such a long supply chain. The organization applied for tax exemption in August, received one request for further information from the IRS before it granted approval. The Chronicle of Philanthropy has posted all the documents the tax agency gave it, along with analysis. I can't tell you the secret sauce of it, he says, but we do have a training method. There are many people learning this method and learning how to expose abuse of power in creative ways. I think that I can raise several thousand dollars for anybody who goes and takes this training and finds out what it is. If there is anybody out there who should be now going in, taking this training, doing it all with a hidden video camera.
I have a few people in mind who I think would do it.
He said the work would, as the organization would be muckraker. He's getting $120,000 a year. Now, here's the interesting part. Last year, it raised $2,367. He expects that figure to grow to $1.65 million over the next 3 years. The group has hired a firm led by Richard Vigory to help it raise money. I guess presumably with the $2,000 that they raised last year.
Mr. Vigory.
This is just stunning. It's just stunning.
Well, I mean, there's no standard. You know this. There's no standards at all on the right. It doesn't really matter. It's might makes right, and ends justify the means, and all the rest of those wonderful sayings. And so they don't care. I mean, this guy broke into Mary Landrieu's office, essentially, right? I mean, he didn't break in. He was trying to.
Well, he's on parole right now. He's on parole.
Not in prison is amazing to me.
Well, you know, and I mean? And the amazing the other thing that's sort of reprehensible is.
Plus that time that he touched Breitbart in places where Breitbart didn't want to be touched.
Oh, I didn't hear that story.
Yeah, that wasn't right either. By the way, that wasn't meant as a factual statement. So.
Oh, I understand. but here's speaking of factual statement. Here's how a group like this gets away with it. In the New York Times article, it says, in March, NPR's top fundraising executive, Ronald Schiller, resigned after Mr. O'Keefe Group caught him on tape telling two people posing as Muslim philanthropists that supporters of the Tea Party were seriously racist people. Now, the fact of the matter is, Schiller did not say that. Schiller said that he has supporters of NPR who said that. But the video was edited in such a way that it made Schiller look like he said that. So in the New York Times, they don't even do the work to actually find out the real story behind that video, propagating the lies that Project Veritas had told, which, of course, gives it cover to go and get nonprofit status, because nobody in the mainstream media will take a moment to realize this is simply an organization that goes around, doesn't even have the integrity of the Merry Pranksters. I'm just amazed. There's such a failure of our media elite in this country that I don't even know where to begin. I'm apoplectic about it.
I'm constantly apoplectic about it. So I stay in this constant state of I can't believe. You know, I mean, that's obviously a lot of the reason we are where we are today. It doesn't really matter. I mean, you can put out anything and you can assume that. You know, it's the he said, she said thing. As long as you say something that isn't one of the few taboos that are out there, and there aren't very many anymore, then it'll be taken seriously, you know, and your group will be taken seriously. And the truth is, there's no reason. I mean, the right's done this. The left needs to do more of it, frankly. There's just no reason why you can't counter anything that the other side is doing by claiming, you know, you're doing the same thing or something better. And the media will have to give that play and say, oh, yeah, well, they're just doing this to create citizen journalists and be honest, and you know, and that's the way it works, which is why I fully expect members on the right to be, when they're done running away from Paul Ryan's budget, will be running in 2012 claiming that it's the Democrats who want to cut Medicare. The media will say, well, Republicans say the Democrats want to, but Democrats say the Republicans want to. That'll be their stories. And these guys, in cases where Republicans are better funded than Democrats, they're going to get away with some of this stuff. It drives me crazy.
All right, we got time for one more story. We're pushing Chris Rosen. This is a good time for me to also remind people, a great time to become a member of the Majority Report. We are not a nonprofit. We don't have Richard Vigory behind us. Your membership is the only thing that keeps this train chugging along. And, of course, you can always buy your junk through Amazon. use our link and transfer the wealth from that corporation to ours. And speaking of a great corporation, I'm talking about JustCoffee.coop, where you can go and JustCoffee.coop and put the coupon code Majority in there, get great coffee. Before we go, Cliff, the Patriot Act was extended for 4 years yesterday. They actually shipped the bill to Obama in Paris so that he could sign it. They wanted to get this done so quickly. There was no debate. They allowed for a couple of rinky-dink amendments just so they could get Rand Paul on board. Everybody goes down. And meanwhile, Ron Wyden has come out and basically said that there is a what amounts to a secret Patriot Act with Mark Udall. Basically said that there is a secret Patriot Act that we don't know about, that we can't talk about. They know about it. The public doesn't know about it. It amounts to basically a secret Patriot Act, and that basically is because the way the Department of Justice is interpreting the existing Patriot Act, and it has to do with the business records provision. Essentially, they're doing these massive data sweeps, so much so that even the FISA court, which is basically a glorified rubber stamp, has had problems with this. And we can't talk about it. The bill's already been passed. That's it. All the squawking we heard from Democrats back in the day about the Patriot Act, out the down the memory hole. It's stunning.
So is the secret Patriot Act, was that part of the overall bill? Or was that, is that something that you do because they feel like doing it?
It is not like an actual bill. It is the way in which the Department of Justice is interpreting the Patriot Act, and we're not allowed to see the interpretation.
So it's kind of like how John Yoo interpreted torture.
In some respects, it's basically
Stab the guy in one leg but not both legs, that's not quite the discomfort it would take for torture, so that's good.
Right, and that's basically what's happening with the Patriot Act, and it's just one of those things, I don't know, I worry for all of us, Cliff.
I worry especially for you.
No, I know. Today, I don't know what happened.
You're a loudmouth bastard on this stuff, and I think especially with the voices you do on, was it Bob's Burgers? You may really piss them off.
Yeah, you may have a point. They're
going to start looking through your voice.
Name drop Friday.
They're going to start spinning the record backwards and hearing you say stuff about being a huge fan of Satan. And,
I should try and do that, actually.
That right. Blood diamonds are actually kind of cool.
Well, Cliff, we have gone way over. Poor Chris Rosen is waiting for me, so I'm going to have to say goodbye. Until next week, sir, thank you for joining us.
Sam, always a pleasure. Thanks, bro.
Okay. And now we will go to Chris Rosen. I will call him on the telephone device, and then we'll bring him back in.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
That woman is an idiot.
Here it is. The Republicans' health care plan for America. Don't get sick.
If you think that's a fair ad, okay, then you're a Republican and an asshole. Have at it, Hoss. Be in that party. Despicable, man.
They're the bad guys.
Endless taxpayer bailout.
Yeah, that's not true.
When Obama won, the reason why we worked so hard for him,
we didn't want a garden variety politician.
Taking a stand, not just cutting deals.
That's what vision is. Yeah. That's what vision is.
The Best of the Left podcast. The best of the truly liberal media. Edited, organized, and mixed. Only at bestoftheleft.com.
Christopher Rosen of MovieLine.com. Big shot senior editor, eh? Theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob. Jimmy Reefer Cakes got to ask. You said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how?
There it is. How did you get that job? We will, folks, later in the program have the Jimmy Reefer Cake Song of the Week coming up. But meantime, it is Chris Rosen from MovieLine.com. Chris, I gotta say kudos to you. It seems like you're literally not on the couch today. It seems like you're sitting at a table, which I think is a vast improvement.
I am. I have lights on. I'm at a table. I have a not clean shirt on. It has a butter stain on it. But otherwise, we're doing well.
A butter stain.
You know, it just dripped.
You just eat butter bars?
I don't just eat butter bars, but things have butter on them, smartass.
Whoa. Yeah, I see how the pecking order goes here. I shit on Rosen. Rosen shits on Norsey. There you go. It's like Medicare, right? With all that butter?
Know, it trickles down. Trickle down economics, Sam.
All right, so I gotta tell you, I tried last night. Nikki's like, let's watch a movie. And I said, good, because I got to watch. I watched Network earlier in the week, as
nice,
per your suggestion.
Good.
And I said, let's watch The Other Guys with Will Ferrell. And I swear to God, this is a response. I'm not watching a fucking Will Ferrell movie.
I can't help it, man. People like these movies.
You know, I don't think you understand the point
of
a movie critic.
I
don't think
you
understand the point of a movie critic. If we just wanted movies that people like, you know what I do? I just go to Yahoo and I pull up the box office for the week.
That's true.
Yes, it's true. Yes, that's my point.
Listen, it's good. I'm telling you, that movie's fine to watch on cable. It's a fun watch for free. You didn't even have to pay for that one.
I didn't watch it.
Well,
I couldn't. I mean, it's a minefield.
I can't help,
I can't believe that I actually was like, ugh.
I can't believe you did
know
that
what I
either.
Do tonight? I got to watch the other guys. It's like a task.
You shit all over me when I suggest that. You never watch the movies I suggest.
First of all, I told you, I watched
Marwyn Call and Marwyn Network.
Call. Yeah, but the best part is that...
I didn't see Marwyn Call.
You didn't see Marwyn Call. The best movie you've ever suggested. It's the only one that you haven't seen.
Some people were asking on Twitter earlier, like last week, what the name of that movie was. So for folks out there listening, it's Marwyn Call.
Marwyn Call. You can also send them to the Majority FM blog.
Okay,
You know what we should have? We should ask Avant to do this. Maybe a running tally of Chris Rosen's movie suggestions.
That's fun. And then people can vote on which ones they like. Really? That might be a little much.
Yeah. Let's not get too carried away. I mean.
All right. We'll say baby steps.
All right. So now we have a long weekend. I got plenty of time to watch movies. I'm going to try and catch up. You know, I think Nikki and I are going to watch Black Swan. Finally.
Okay, good.
And, you know, because I'm doing it, because Myla loves ballet. I am now very familiar with Swan Lake, the ballet. And, you know, I used to be friendly with Darren Aronofsky. Name drop Friday. Name drop Friday.
Anyway, so for this week and over the weekend, I thought you have a lot of time. You might shit on this also. I'm not actually sure because I don't know your taste. But this week was Bob Dylan's birthday, and I was looking on Netflix, and No Direction Home is available on Netflix, the Bob Dylan documentary that Martin Scorsese directed, and it's in two parts.
I've actually paid for an entire studio audience today on the off chance that you may suggest something. Like, I don't know if the movie's good or not, but at least it's an interesting suggestion.
Well, and it's two parts. It was a PBS documentary, so it's long. I mean, it's about, like, you know, probably you could watch it over the whole weekend, honestly. It's probably like 4 hours total. It's separated into two parts. And it's just all about Bob Dylan, interviews from a lot of different people.
You?
I never watched it, no. I'm not a big Bob Dylan fan.
I can't fucking believe this! You are two for two. The only interesting movies that you've suggested are ones that you haven't watched.
I selected Network last week. I've seen that a million times.
Jesus.
But this one, I think you can watch it. And we could watch it together, maybe. And then, you know,
not
maybe we can watch
place.
It over I Am.
Not in the same place.
Maybe we can watch it over I Am. I'm just saying. It could be fun. But I think that's a great movie to watch for this weekend because it was Bob Dylan's birthday this weekend. It's a strong one. And you got to love Martin Scorsese doing musical documentaries. He obviously did The Last Waltz, which was great.
Oh, all right. So you have at least some – you never saw The Last Waltz, right?
No, I have.
What do you do? You just read other people's reviews?
No, I've seen that. I like Scorsese movies.
Do you
I just
write reviews of
one.
Movies?
I write some reviews, mostly just newsy stuff. Newsy? When you're aggregating and blogging, you know, it's a little different than writing reviews.
Right. So do you watch? I mean, what do you do? What do you do?
I see almost everything. I watch a lot of shit.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of good stuff out. I mean, you know, frankly, that's
Have you thought about getting shittymovies.com as a
I think someone has that already.
Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is,
No Direction Home is not a shitty movie, though.
No, that's right. Now, I'm just thinking about a place where.
I can't wait for you to hear the next suggestion. You're going to shit on me.
He's like, he's literally just, I can see it. I can see him. He's biting his tongue. He's literally, he's like biting his lower lip. Wait, so let's start with this. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Okay. That, I would say.
Everyone has seen
that. That is the idea. If you've seen the movie, I would say that is extremely predictive that it's going to be a piece of crap.
I don't think so, but it might be in your mind. So No Direction Home on Netflix Instant Watch. And then I don't know, Sam, if you've seen the posters for this.
Hold on. I should tell people, I should remind people, because we have plenty of new listeners every Friday, that this segment is, I asked Chris Rosen of MovieLine.com to suggest a Netflix free streaming movie, or, you know, streaming movie, or an Amazon on demand movie, because I'm not allowed to leave my house because I have a child to watch a movie. It's just too expensive, and I don't want to deal with it. Okay.
The best thing a critic could do in this
I should also tell people who don't understand what's going on here is that Chris Rosen's theoretically a movie critic.
Here's the thing, Sam. I know what you like, and I've been learning that, so I like suggesting things. Even if I haven't seen them, I like suggesting things that you would like.
When you start talking about movies like this, like when you're at work and you say something like, anybody know John Cassavetes? Do you get these like looks of like, wow, what's going on with Chris? Is he taking an annex course?
No.
Okay.
I have a lot of smarts in there. I'm sorry if I confuse Nick and John Cassavetes.
Well, have you ever seen a John Cassavetes movie?
Yes, I have, and I don't like them, frankly.
Yeah.
Sleepy, boring.
Mm.
I'm sorry, the 70s aesthetic I just can't get into.
All right, I understand. Well, okay, what's the Amazon movie? We don't have all day.
The Amazon one, I think, you know, I don't know if you've seen the posters for it, but The Hangover 2 came out today.
You're fucking kidding me! You're lying. You're joking, right? You're joking. You were listening to the show earlier.
No.
You were listening to the show earlier.
No, I'm not, but I do.
Seriously?
I am not, no.
Okay, goodbye. Like, now I'm in a predicament. The only thing I can imagine is he was actually listening to the show. Right? Right? There's no way.
The entertainment value of the segment has just skyrocketed, although it's become completely useless.
I don't know if I can have him back on now. I don't know. I'm gonna call him back and just... How can I have mine? Literally, this is now like a this is like a fundamental challenge to my integrity. Listen to me.
Yeah.
Don't say anything. Don't say any words. I just want you to hear this. Go back. We're gonna put up a clip. We will clip this. Okay, clip this for Rosen. Clip that audio. No, not this. Clip the part where I was saying at the beginning of the show.
Uh-huh.
Okay, you were not listening to the show.
No.
Okay. All right. I gotta go. I just. But not like I have my own integrity. For people who missed the beginning of the show, I said, like, if he says Hangover 2, that's it. I'm fucking ending the segment. Can't believe it. I cannot believe it. I can't believe it. When I was sitting with Richard Kind and Isabel Gillies today in Starbucks, we were making fun of it. I was saying, like, I got a great idea for a movie. Hangover 3. That's the one where Zach gets married. Galifianakis, whatever. He gets married. And then you could do a Hangover 4 by having another buddy join the group. And they could all be friends, and the fourth guy gets married. Hangover 4. It's a perfect recipe for a movie.
There is actually 4 of them.
What do you mean?
There's 4 of them.
Oh, 4 guys.
Yeah.
Well, whatever. I mean, you always need to have one guy who's still single. You don't understand how to write comedy, buddy. That's the... All right, so now we're way over, but we must make time for this week's Jimmy Reefer Cake song. I have it on my computer.
And here it is. For those of you who don't know, Jimmy Reefer Cake, here is Tornadoes, written and produced by Jimmy Reefer Cake. Uyla V on the bass, Mrs. Reefer Cake on the drums. So how about we produce an album and sell it to raise money for Majority.fm and allthehypocrisy.com? Make me an offer. Make you an offer? Okay, how about you produce an album and use it to raise money for allthehypocrisy.com? How's that for an offer? What's going on with people today?
Usually you don't say, I'm going to raise money for you. Make me an offer.
Unbelievable. All right. So his blog, I should tell you, is allthehypocrisy.com, Jimmy Reefer Cakes. So visit it. To be honest, I don't know what's there. I can't say for sure what's there. Okay, here is today's song.
Springtime has come, and I'm planting my tomatoes. Listen to the latest news on all these tornadoes. And if a tornado hits your town, prepare for devastation all around. Get your kids and try to find some shelter underground. It's death from above, just like in Palestine. Your town is on the menu. The tornado will dine. Our fossil fuels to blame. The result is still the same. Our politicians are repeating the same old play game. Tornadoes are most common in the Midwest and the South. Penny pinching Republicans, you better shut your mouth. Tornado.
Oh my. I feel like
I don't know what to say to that one.
I don't know what to say. I don't know what to say.
The music was good.
You know, I
better than that bass line from the first two songs.
I like the bass line from the first two songs. I mean, but I liked it when the first time I heard it. I don't know that I would call that a week in review. I mean, I think like the idea is to sort of. I don't even know if Reefer Cake listens to the show anymore. I think he just. I mean, I don't really cover the tornadoes. I mean, I think it's horrible. I mean, I covered it in the context of, like, the politics of Cantor refusing to provide emergency relief for tornado victims unless they cut, I guess it turned out to be fuel efficiency for cars measures. I think there was an allusion to that in there. I'm not 100% sure. There was a big election on Tuesday, probably, and the issue of Medicare probably could have showed up there. I like the reference to tomatoes because, yes, you do got to plant your tomatoes now. This is the time, folks. Got to do it before Memorial Day. I don't know what to say. But, folks, let me run through these news briefs. Quickly, and then we will go into the post-show section. Today on the post-show, we have... So, yeah, congratulations, Jimmy Reefer Cake. Good job, buddy. Appreciate it. Interesting song today. Today on the show, on the post-show, Steve Berthium will call in. He is our resident beekeeper. Not a pro, but an advanced amateur beekeeper. Going to tell us how we can start our own little bee keeps. He's going to call in at 12:30 today in the post-show. And just want to run through some of these stories that you may have missed. Gaius Publius, on America Blog has posted a follow-up to our interview with Dave Murphy of Food Democracy Now! About the... The USDA, basically with pressure from the rest of the Obama administration, to give a wholesale pass on total deregulation of genetically modified alfalfa plants. And the Center for Food Safety, Earth Justice, and others have filed a lawsuit. Plaintiffs asked the court to declare deregulation determination to be arbitrary and capricious in violation of the National Environmental Policy Act, the Plant Protection Act, the Administrative Procedure Act. Plaintiffs asked further that this court to vacate the Animal and Plant Health Inspection Service, an arm of the USDA, decision to once again deregulate Roundup Ready alfalfa without taking a hard look at the environmental consequences of its decision. Plaintiffs request injunctive declaratory and other relief the court deems appropriate. There's a follow-up. The Republicans have essentially forced, are preventing the Senate from actually recessing. They're going to have a keep it in pro forma session so that Obama cannot do a recess appointment of Elizabeth Warren. They really, really hate the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. And I don't know what happens after this, but maybe somebody with some parliamentary procedure knowledge in the Senate can figure out a way of getting on recess. I don't even know then if Obama would appoint her. We'll see. Meanwhile, two bipartisan actions in the House of Representatives related to Libya may bode ill for congressional support for the U.S. role in military intervention there. Kucinich is going to be raising a bill next week in the House calling for full withdrawal from the action in accordance with the War Powers Act, which, you know, well, basically the 60-day window that Obama had to go and get congressional approval ended last Friday. And so there'll be a bill in Congress. At least Congress is speaking up about this. Conyers offered an amendment during the consideration of the defense authorization bill in committee. One amendment was asserted that nothing in this act or any amendment made by this act shall be construed to authorize military operations in Libya. Second, would prevent funds, this offered by Conyers, from being used to deploy, establish, or maintain a presence of members of the armed services or private security contractors on the ground in Libya. That was Conyers. So Congress strikes back, good for them. A dude in Madison, Wisconsin, was arrested after his gun went off in his motel room. He had plans to shoot people at a Planned Parenthood clinic in Madison. More right-wing terrorism in this country. Plenty more.
Didn't one or two states try to pass a bill that would make it okay to attack someone who was an abortion
doctor?
There
was a couple of states in this country where bills were raised by Republicans. I can't remember the states off the hand, where you basically could claim basically self-defense on some measure if you were protecting, if you had a relationship to the woman who was getting an abortion or to the fetus in any way. And you could, it would be an exculpatory defense, a mitigating defense if you killed somebody. There you go. Wonderful. And on the upside, the EPA is introducing new fuel economy labels that will go on cars. So you'll see exactly how much money you will save by buying a car with high miles per gallon. All right, folks, that's the jam-packed show for today. We're going to go into the post-show. You can IM me at Majority FM. You can call us at 646-257-3920, 646-257-3920. On Monday, we will have a new interview for you. It will be a new show, as far as you're concerned. I won't be here. We will more than likely be back on Tuesday. We're going to bank that thing. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be on Jenks' show tonight, I believe, on MSNBC. If I can get home in time and put on a shirt, shave. In the coming weeks, I'm going to be filling in some radio, too. Should be exciting. I'll be broadcasting live from Netroots Nation in the coming weeks. all a function of your support, ladies and gentlemen. I could not fill in on radio without your support because I would have no studio. I would have no ISDN. I would have no video capability. I could not go to Netroots Nation without your support. Frankly, it's a little bit pricey. I will be broadcasting from there. It will be as if you are there. Except for I will be there. It's really going to be more like if I'm there telling you about it. That's exactly what it is. And I wouldn't be able to do any of this without your support. There's no Soros. There's no Koch brothers. There's nobody except for you. So I thank you. Have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Think on Memorial Day about those people who gave up their lives, our military personnel, who gave up their lives in protection of certain values, and ask yourself, is our country still upholding those values in the way that we should be? All right, folks, see you on the flip side.